Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall come upon every beast on the earth and upon every bird of the air, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they will be delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be your food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life and its blood. For the lifeblood I will surely require a reckoning. Of every beast I will require of it of man, and of every man's brother I will require a life of a man. Whoever sheds the blood of a man by a man shall have his blood shed as well. For God made man in his own image. And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly on the earth and multiply it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, the beast of the earth with you, and as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy all the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant, which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And when I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature and all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And when the bow is in the clouds, I will look upon it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant, which I establish between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." It's been a while since I read the Revised Standard Version. That's what I grew up with, though. So this morning, we are talking about covenants. So who can remember, back in January, we had some litany called a covenant renewal service. Does anybody remember that? First Sunday in January, right? And this covenant service was to renew our covenant between us as a congregation and the good Lord that we have, right? That we are in covenant with each other and with God. I believe it's vital for congregations to remember once a year who they are. Now, I found this pretty interesting. You guys know I do In the Word with the Wesleyan and the Lutheran on Mondays. And so something that he brought up to me, Pastor Corey, my buddy, is that in the Wesleyan church, they actually basically have to rejoin their church every year. So it's not they just are members and that's it. No, every year they have to recommit their membership vows as a member of that church. And I've never heard that before anywhere else. But it's the point here that we're a church, right? We're not any other type of social organization. We believe in the same things. We must believe in the same things. We must be unified in covenant with one another. So who remembers what I preached on last week? Last week. Anybody?
I didn't think you had church last week.
Did we not have church last week?
No, yeah, we did.
We did. Okay.
I wasn't.
You weren't here. Well, then you get a passing grade regardless, right?
Yeah.
You are. So last week was Transfiguration Sunday, right? And towards the end of the sermon, I kind of charged you with something. I told you to be weird, right? That the people of God people would know that you're different because you're a believer in Jesus. That when they see you out in the community, they don't quite understand what it is, but it's an opportunity for you to share the gospel because you're different. Because the gospel makes us different. We're We live a life filled with love and care and compassion because we love God and we love neighbor. And that's what even our founding member of the church, right? Martin Luther himself keyed that phrase, love God, love neighbor. A lot of churches have begun to use that phrase now 500 years later as their catchphrase for church, but we invented it. We invented it, right? Martin Luther invented the catchphrase, love God, love neighbor, 500 something years ago. So that's what we have to do. When we're out in the community, when we're with each other, that's one of the reasons why I think it's important we wave at each other for the passing of the peace. At least we do that because we do love each other. It's so good to be able to come in church. And I know there's difference of opinions on this, but I love being able to walk in church and hear people talking. It tells me the church is alive. It tells me there's conversations going on, that people care about each other. I love being able to go to a church, you know, an hour after church ends, I can go to the parking lot. And I was told this a long time ago. I'm stealing what they said. I can go to the parking lot and see if that church is alive or not. Because if it is, cars will still be parked outside because people are fellowshipping with each other. They're talking. They're loving on each other. When there's a need in the community, we come together in partnership to surround that person in love and care. So this past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. Does anybody remember what we talked about on Ash Wednesday? Well, we did that. I didn't get to do it with my thumb this year, though. That was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced, having to take those Q-tips. Boom, boom, boom. Some people got really good ones. Some people, not so much. But it's okay. It's a learning curve. We talked about a community-wide fast from Joel that we would commit to fasting over the next 40 days of Lent. I commissioned the congregation to do so, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we talked about covenants. And so today, we hear this common theme of covenant within this Old Testament passage, as well as my sermon back in January. See, my goal as a pastor is not just to preach 48 sermons a year that don't interact with each other. So when I was a school teacher, we had lesson plans, you know, and we had so many things we had to teach throughout the year. So my goal is that there's connection, that we build a foundation for you, that there's some common themes. So by the end of the year, we at least have one thing that we have grown in together as a faith community. So oftentimes in the Old Testament, people groups, countries would make covenants with each other. So I want us to think in 2021, where do we see this happen? Nuclear treaties, right? We agree not to have so many nuclear bombs, or this country can't have nuclear bombs because they're not stable. And that's a good thing, right, for world peace. That's a treaty. That's a covenant. Now, the bad thing is, and when people make covenants, we can somehow break them. We can get out of them. Now, there could be consequences because we choose to break that promise. But let's face it, who's ever been lied to? That's a covenant, right? Like, you had a verbal agreement, and that agreement didn't work out. I mean, I remember as when I was down in West Palm, and I can't speak about it because I had an attorney involved, my first time as an adult, I had to sue somebody because they did not honor their agreement. And me from the country, a handshake was always good enough. Because why? You didn't want to ruin your reputation in a small town. You broke a promise, the whole town knew about it. In the city, nobody cared, right? That's just the way of life. So I had to go to an attorney and sue and win. But it was really sad. It was a really sad moment for me to have to do that. The point here is, covenants with God are permanent. God's covenant with Noah and what it means for us today is still in effect. The Bible is not just a bunch of stories put together. No, it's a living, breathing document. God's promise, a God's covenant to his people. So in 2002, there was this giant piece of ice that broke off in the Antarctica, right? And this giant piece of ice caused a series of issues. It caused many countries to go underwater, places like the Solomon Islands and eventually coastal cities, even in the United States, begin to be suddenly submerged in water. And so, but today's scripture that we talk about is not about this rising of sea level. Who's ever seen a body of water just continue to rise and rise and rise? I grew up on the Mississippi, so, and we knew after a certain point, like, it was not safe. We know that the bayous continue to rise to avoid them, because I remember going down Bayou Des Almonds and Bayou Gauche Road back home, and you're driving down, and if the waters were a certain level, you better turn around, because you ain't getting out, right? So that's what we're talking about. So in this case, we're talking about storm surge, where all of a sudden, the earth is flooded. The earth is flooded, and everything in existence is gone. So it says this in Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. And I want you, as I read this text, think about today and the world around us. The earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark made of cypress wood. So Noah heeded God's instruction, and he and his family and every two of every creature of the ark were put on and saved. And I asked this question. My home pastor used to ask me, he says, well, why did God have to save the mosquito? Right? Why did we have to have the mosquito? And I'm not just talking about those little ones that you do like this to. I'm talking about those giant African mosquitoes where your whole arm is just like lit on fire, right? That's what I grew up with. Why did God have to save those? I don't know. But after 150 days, the water receded, and Noah and his passengers left the ark. So I want us to think and imagine the landscape. If you've ever gone through a natural disaster such as this, right? So I can tell you that we certainly have. I've experienced numerous hurricanes in my life in Louisiana. The 2016 Monroe floods. I worked in Joplin, Missouri as a volunteer and heard those horrific stories that I will always remember. I was a victim of Hurricane Irma in 2017. But I want to give you this morning a smell. Because as good learners, right, we use our senses. So in Katrina, there were acres and acres of trash everywhere. Okay? And people, because we were without power for 3 to 6 months, there was no saving the refrigerators and the contents of those refrigerators. So people would just duct tape them and sit them out on the curb. And we didn't have trash service. And when I tell you it smelled. And I'll never, ever forget that stench of those refrigerators. And as I looked at Hurricane Irma a few years ago and pictures of the Florida Keys, it was that same experience for those people. The smell of rotting food. So for Noah and his passengers, his family, I imagine my experience is nothing compared to that. They look around and the earth is empty, right? Everyone they knew is dead, right? Every single person they've ever had a relationship is gone. All the animals, could you imagine being in the ark? With all those stinky animals, poop and pee and all this stuff, right? Because they had nowhere else to go to the bathroom. It smelled, right? God had to press the reset button. And I am sure for those, that family, it was something they never forgot, right? Looking upon the post-flood and a world that just went through a Holocaust cloaked in a natural disaster. God had been sad enough with humanity's actions to destroy them. But God was also saddened by the destruction of the flood that he caused. And we hear a distinct tone of sadness in the scripture. As God made a promise to Noah, his family, the birds, the animals, and the earth, never ever again to destroy the earth by water. To mark this promise, he placed a bow in the sky and established his covenants with his people. Not just with Noah, our humanity, but with every living creature, all flesh, the whole earth. And when we think about God's most significant agreements with humanity, his sweeping promises, our minds, at least mine, go typically to Moses and the Ten Commandments, or perhaps Abraham and Sarah. But before those covenants with specific men and women, God made the most significant promise of all to humanity, to all creatures we share this earth with, and to the earth itself. I will never destroy you again. We make the same promise to God. The corruption and violence God saw before Noah are still ever present and part of the life we live here on earth. We still treat each other poorly, putting ourselves ahead of others, and allowing fulfillment of our desires to trample whole societies and even earth itself. As stewards of God's creation, how then shall we live our lives to ensure that every living creature can fully live in this promise that God gave us? This morning, the trouble for our world is that as human beings, we fail to complete our part of the covenant with God every single day, don't we? Every single day. For God tells us throughout Scripture, if you will be my people, I will be your God. And like many of you, I've spent numerous hours this past year scrolling through social media, watching the news, and talking to loved ones about what's wrong in the world today. I've listened to politicians trying to advocate for this or for that, and trying to fix the problem that we have. But the problem is, it's not about policy this morning, it's about sin. We have a sin problem in this world, a sin problem that Noah found himself living in. We have a problem with looking to the Word of God for truth instead of looking to our own ideas and ideologies. So I want us to think back to 2017 during the Sandy Hook shootings. Do you guys remember those? Tragic. And I remember one news outlet specifically, because I watched it, used those events that day to promote abortion of young children, free of charge across the land. But the problem is again, we are taking a tragedy and using it for self-gain. You guys heard the old term war profiteers, right? People that made billions of dollars on war, and they still do today. It's about self-interest. How sinful. How sinful. To profit off the death of anyone. The outside world, though, the problem is, doesn't even recognize what sin is anymore. Sin is not a concept, and certainly to be held accountable for our sin is not a concept. I've shared in many sermons over the years, there was stats ran that like 50% of evangelical Christians don't believe in hell anymore. What is the implications of that? Well, if there is no punishment for my sin, what's the point? Why did Jesus need to die on a cross for my sins? Why die at all? That's the point. It was necessary. We call that in seminary atonement theory, because our sins had to be atoned for, paid for, so that we can walk away for free. Again, we don't get to go to a courtroom having committed a crime and walk away for free. We're going to be punished, right? So 4,400 years ago, God made a covenant with Noah and his family that is remaining active till today. And what I love about this story, this covenant here in the 9th chapter of Genesis, is that it's one story, God's story. So from Genesis chapter 1 to the last chapter of Revelation, our God remains the same. We mess up, God gives us another chance. Every single time. Think about it. Every time we mess up, God is there. God is forgiving us. That is the grace. But many of us today, we fail at this, right? We talked last week about sharing our faith. We fail to share the covenant of God with people. That if you will be God's people, he will be your God. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's that easy to share. See, I know I skipped ahead of myself. The grace this morning comes from God's unchanging covenant enacted those many years ago, where God flooded this entire earth. But this act of God was from compassion. It was from grace. God did not want the human race to continue down a path of evil corruption. And instead, he intervened for us. God gave us that second chance. So again, I wonder, if I look at the world around us, and I wish I was a historian for Noah, because I can answer you the question, just how bad do we compare to the people of that time period? Are we worse than them? Are we better? I mean, were they really that bad to deserve a complete genocide? All their people? I don't know. But the fact is, I'm not the judge, God is. That's God's law, not Richard's law. And that's what the grace of Christianity really is about, right? Has nothing to do with my feelings or what I think, and has everything to do with God. The sooner we get that, the sooner we're better off. The covenant is more than just a rainbow in the sky. More than a rainbow in the sky. It's an experiment of our free will that God gives us. I mean, God hit the reset button, gave us a second chance, and he didn't tell us what we had to do, but asked us instead to make choices in life. And I've shared this. I wonder, you know, we talk about right now, NASA just landed like this robot on Mars to see if there's life on Mars, right? This is the sci-fi geek in me, okay? And I wonder if God put life on other planets or somewhere else and took away their free will. You know, they're really messed up there on Earth. Let me try something else. I don't know. Just a thought out there. Don't quote me on it. The grace is we learn that through Christ, indeed, this place can be like heaven if we truly try. You know, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. You're going to continue to hear me say this week after week because it's so true. We say on earth as it is in heaven. If we mean it, if we truly mean what we pray, then we will do the best job that we can to bring God's heaven to earth. We have to. We have to love people better. We have to care for our neighbors. We have to hear the cry of the needy and do so without judgment, which is sometimes hard. We have to love people right where they are, as Jesus did, right? The woman at the well. He loved people where they were. And as Mr. Brown told me a long time ago, the sin's on them, right? I have no business judging the sin of others before looking at myself. That's why we confess our sins this morning. The covenant, just like this covenant, he will never flood the earth again. We have to remember that God in our covenant with him, and we say he's our God and we are his people, he's our healer, he's our provider, he's our sustainer, he's our savior. That's the good news. The grace is that because God loves us, we get an opportunity to show that love and compassion to this sinful and hurting world that we live in today. The truth is, the earth that we live in has a curable cancer, a sickness called sin. But we have to recognize it, right? You know, just like any sickness in your body, we go and get tested and then we find out what it is and we get a treatment plan. Well, our treatment plan comes from the Bible. And we need to live that treatment plan out in the world. And we don't have any excuse not to. We have the answers. So, that 40-day fast that I commissioned to the people, as Joel did, to give something up during Lent. Now, this is your homework that I expect everyone to fulfill before they finish, leave the space this morning. Before you walk out of those doors, I want you to think about one thing you can give up during Lent. One thing. And one thing you're going to take up during Lent. Because it's not just about giving up, but taking up a spiritual discipline, something to grow in your faith. And then what I want you to do is I want you to find an accountability person that you can meet with once a week. That once a week is on Sunday morning. That you can turn next to them and say, hey, how are you doing with so-and-so? Are you reading your Bible more like you said you were going to? Are you giving up 20 hours of social media a week? I honestly would love to give up social media all my heart. But there's parts of it I can't give up because of work. However, I don't have to scroll on my phone for 2 hours before I go to bed to relax, right? I can do something else. I just like to be thoughtless, you know, and just not have anything thinking in my brain. But you know what happens? I mean, when I did that last night, then I was up all night thinking about it anyways. So what are you going to give up and take up during Lent? How are you going to live out this covenant with God? That he loves us, that he's given us a second chance at life. And who do you know right now that doesn't believe in Jesus? And I can guarantee, I mean, some of y'all have had it like a great life. Like when you were growing up, probably 90% of people you knew were believers in Jesus. I mean, and as generations as we've gone more and more in time, the less and less people believe in Jesus. I mean, here we are at First Lutheran, and I can't tell you if all my neighbors within the surrounding area believe in Jesus. The church is here. So think of that one person and at least begin to pray for them that they would accept Christ into their life. You could do that, right? You could pray for one person that doesn't believe in Jesus on a regular basis. And maybe you don't get the courage right away to go up to them, but I guarantee if you pray for them every day, it's going to happen. So let's pray and continue this opportunity to worship God. God, we thank you for this global guarantee, God, that you love us, that you give us a second chance at life, a life that is not so consumed with sin, but consumed with you. God, we appreciate sincerely this opportunity we have to be your disciples. God, help us reflect upon our lives during Lent. God, that we give up something that has almost become a false god in our lives, whatever that is. And we take up an opportunity to know you more. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.